This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Julian Ng. On the Breakfast Grill today is Gavin Lim, CEO of HWGG Capital, who in March 2018 issued a fiat pegged token called HWG Cash in partnership with EveryToken, which is a public blockchain platform. Today, our conversation will focus on the adoption level of digital tokens as well as cryptocurrencies and also HWGG's plans and strategy in this area. Gavin, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Julian. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with more details on your token called HWGG Cash. And your press releases say that it's Asia's first regulated cash token pegged to the US dollar. And how it works is that users add money or fiat currency in crypto parlance to an online wallet and buy these tokens. What are some of the uses of your tokens?
All right. So most of the users of the stable token nowadays in the market is mostly for trading purposes. So you would expect the stable token to be used in cryptocurrency exchanges a lot. But on top of that, what we are trying to do is that we wanted to adopt the stable token into the payment processing sectors. So yeah, so our stable token are able to be utilized in cryptocurrency exchanges, but also for payment.
So what makes it stable?
Making this token stable, it's of course with its pegged value to the USD. So you know, of course, you won't be buying a USD, you know, for more than one USD. So that makes it stable.
Sounds like it's as good as cash. So why not just use cash? What are the advantages of converting that cash into HWG Cash?
Well, the advantage of this is the topic that has been discussed a lot. So the advantage of converting the cash into digital token per se is, of course, for its convenience, especially when you in today's world, you transact a lot in the internet, right? So it provides you with, being a blockchain, as I said, provides you being very convenient and also secure.
Is it cheaper? Because right now, when you go online, there are also many ways to pay for stuff online. Yeah. For example, you can use a credit card, you can use PayPal. How is HWG Cash changing that?
Now, that is the thing that we are looking into. And of course, stable token does not go directly against, you know, the traditional, I would say, fiat payment processors such as PayPal, you know, whatever there is. But stable token instead, they help facilitate the payment from the digital asset users. Namely to say now, there are a lot of digital asset in the market, such as Bitcoin, Ethereum. But these tokens, these coins, I would say, these cryptocurrencies, the value of their tokens are fluctuating. The price fluctuation is very high. So usually these tokens won't be accepted from traditional merchants as a form of payment. So the stable token would be able to solve that.
So you're essentially trying to create another type of cryptocurrency that's based on your token. The other cryptocurrencies that are in the market today, of course, very famous one, Bitcoins, Ethereums, and you're using HWG Cash that is backed by US dollar. Is that right? Are you trying to create a new crypto?
We are not trying to create the new crypto. In fact, actually, stable token, it's already up and running type of cryptocurrency in the Western side, namely in the US side. There are a lot of stable tokens in the market nowadays, namely USDT, the most famous one, Tether. And then, of course, there are the newer one, the Paxos, the Gemini dollar. The only difference that what we are doing is that, of course, we are trying to be the Asia player and also being the regulated one.
And you also launched on this platform called EveryToken. Tell us more about this EveryToken. Who is behind it? I believe this is a public blockchain platform. What are the advantages of backing your token up with a blockchain platform?
Now, EveryToken public chain is actually the world's first token economy, customized token blockchain. So what does it mean is that their blockchain is very fast, very secure for payment especially, you know. Because previously when we were venturing into this sector, we did some research on all the technologies available, including, you know, the most famous one, Ethereum, smart contracts. But there are some problems with all these technologies that are due to the speed, because they are not, I would say, customized for payment. Whereas every token is a public chain that is specially made for payment. Hence, they can process transaction up to 10,000 transactions per second. So yeah, that is why we are choosing every token public chain as a base foundation for our tokens.
And also, there has a lot been said about blockchain technology and how it can change the world. In HWGG's perspective, are you going to latch on those kind of thinking?
Actually, yes. But the thing is that in the current market, I would say, understanding of blockchain, whenever you talk about blockchain, people only think about cryptocurrency.
Exactly.
But actually, it goes way further than that. Blockchain can be used for, let's say, inventory recording, you know, inventory management, business management system, and all beyond that. The fact that we are looking into stable token is because we believe that the stable token is the next step forward, the next generation, I would say, of the cryptocurrency evolution.
As far as blockchain is concerned, do you intend to expand your business beyond the cash token business into exploiting the blockchain advantages?
Indeed. In fact, our team, on top of just developing the stable token and, you know, promoting it in the market, we are also in looking at providing blockchain management system solution to the market to let's say, you know, catering to company who is looking for inventory but recording in the blockchain manner.
We're speaking to Gavin Lim, CEO of HWGG Capital this morning, and we're talking about cryptocurrencies and tokens as well as blockchains. Now, I understand that the HWG cash token is backed by $500 million of deposit. Who funds that?
I think there's a misunderstanding there. What does it mean is actually the token is actually there's a hard cap of the cryptocurrency up to $500 million. Now, how our business works is that whenever a person buys HWG cash, and that fiat money will use it to back the tokens. So in a sense that whenever there's a fiat coming in into the custody account, and there will be the equivalent amount of HWG cash issued into circulation in the market.
So essentially, the token will be backed by the customer's own money.
Correct.
What kind of business model are you looking at? I mean, how do you make money?
How do we generate revenue? I would say it's from the gas fee of the public chain. Yes. So how does it work is that, you know, whenever there people transact in the using HWG cash, there will be a certain gas fee that will be they call it gas fee in the blockchain industry that will be deducted from the public chain, and that will act as our revenue into the company.
So how much is this fee? Like for every $1 that I use, how much would I be
currently
charged?
We are fixed at 0.5%.
0.5%
of whatever amount transactions.
And you think that is a reasonable price for consumers to pay?
Yes, we believe so, because in the current market, especially for the digital asset market, we believe that is the correct percentage, or I would say amount to charge.
So if I think of my own spending, let's say in online businesses, right, online platforms, when I spend, I actually don't have that cost, because when I buy a product, I pay for the product directly.
Yep.
You're charging a fee of 0.5% to the consumer directly.
Yes, correct. We are not... actually, we are operating in a two different, very, very different market. The target market that we are targeting is actually the existing digital asset users, namely, you know, the Bitcoin holders or the Ethereum holders. These people want to spend their digital asset for purchase of product and services, but currently there's no mean to do so, especially towards traditional businesses, because I would say traditional businesses doesn't necessarily understand how Bitcoin works yet. And of course, there's this question about liquidation and the price fluctuation. So we aim to be the intermediate for that, for that process, to help bridge the gap between the digital asset and the traditional market.
This morning, we have Gavin Lim, CEO of HWGG Capital, on the grill. And coming back, we'll have more discussion, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Grill. I'm Julian Ng, and I am talking to Gavin Lim, CEO of HWGG Capital, this morning on the HWG Cash. And we're also talking about issues in Bitcoin, blockchain, cryptocurrencies, as well as token adoption levels. Earlier on, Gavin, you were talking about the challenges of converting digital assets like cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin to fiat currencies like the US dollar. How do you promise to lower and eliminate those kind of volatility that you're talking about? Because the last time I checked, crypto is very volatile. How do you intend to reduce that volatility?
Okay, so how it works is that whenever the users try to pay in Bitcoin, we will help them convert the Bitcoin into our stable token and to make that payment to the merchants. So meaning to say, when a user pay in Bitcoin, the merchant or the end user will be receiving in stable token. Now, this means that our company will be, of course, absorbing the volatility of the Bitcoin. And of course, this can only happen when we do work with a lot of international markets, big liquidators. So these are the people who help us liquidate our Bitcoin into fiat on behalf of the users.
Well, there are so many Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies exchanges in the world. And as I understand it, each of those exchanges will quote slightly different prices. Will you then be able to give a sort of consistent exchange rate to your customers?
Of course, because how our system works is that we do tie up with our liquidators. So whenever they exchange the Bitcoin to our stable token, it will be at the live market rate. So it will be at the rate that the user will have to agree before proceeding to convert their Bitcoin to our stable token.
So how big is this market? I mean, you're kind of focusing on a very narrow market of a coincidental market, which is that Bitcoin holders who want to transact for goods and services.
Actually, this market, from our opinion, it's definitely growing because not only the existing digital asset market that is coming in, but also stable token provide chance for the traditional market to venture into digital asset market without bearing the full, full liquidity, full fluctuation of the pricing of the digital asset.
It does also seem that there is a danger of you being siloed as a payments company, which is a very crowded segment of the market. What kind of measures are you taking out to highlight the differentiations between you as a payments company and you as a token company?
Whenever we go out and do marketing, we always tell people that we are a blockchain payment solution provider. The reason being is that we believe that we are operating in a totally different market from all the payment processing companies right now. Because, there are a lot of big boys, especially in the Malaysian market, is really overcrowded. But we believe that we are catering to a different market, namely, the digital asset market.
I think one very interesting thing about your setup is that you got the licensing from Labuan. And in the middle of last year, the Labuan Financial Services Authority expressed interest in terms of policy to attract innovative financial services into Labuan, including distributed ledger technology as well as cryptocurrency. So tell us more about your sentiments about this policy and the advantages of setting up in Labuan.
So one of the reasons why we set up in Labuan is, of course, the Labuan Financial Services Authority is very supportive, and they do have definitive licenses for these kind of businesses, which now in the Asia region, we believe is one of the few jurisdictions to do so. So the LFSA recently, you know, they do a lot of regulations and they provide these licenses to businesses to further expand in this space, especially we are talking about the financial tech industry.
So I understand that this license also only restricts you to market to only non-Malaysians offshore clients. Does that fit well into your overall plans? I mean, you're linked to the Hoa Genting Group, and I understand that there are certain businesses that sell to Malaysians.
Actually, the license requires to not sell our tokens to the Malaysian resident. However, we can sign up Malaysian businesses as, I would say, a merchant. Sign out as a merchant. So that's our target anyway. So because the biggest cryptocurrency or digital asset users nowadays is, of course, in our in the Asian region as well, namely Korea, Japan, China. So what we are trying to do is that we want to attract these digital asset holders to come and spend in Malaysia businesses. So yeah, that's what we are.
So when they come and spend in Malaysian businesses, which means that they're doing business with Malaysia, does the Labuan license restrict that?
The Labuan license does not restrict that. It's just that our token, our primary market, we cannot sell it to the Malaysian. However, when let's say our primary users from Japan or Korea, they use the HWG cash token to spend with the merchants in Malaysia, then the Malaysian businesses can actually, you know, redeem the tokens from us for fiat.
Okay, you also mentioned about the Philippines market and you're trying to collaborate with the Virtual Currency Philippines or VCPI, and there's about 6 billion of remittances into 6 billion US dollars into Philippines yearly. How recognized are you regionally and what kind of volumes have you done? I mean, for example, a local Malaysian fintech called Money Match, they achieve 450 million in transactions, right? Foreign exchange transactions with the numbers that we have so far. What kind of numbers do you have to show for that?
For us, we just recently started this partnership with VCPI, one of the exchanges that we are actually actively working with. The thing about this is that we are not directly doing the money remitting services. So what happened is that nowadays in the digital asset industry, they have this thing called some like social banking. How do I say social banking? Is because our stable token is freely tradable, or I would say freely to be able to transact in the market. So what happened is that when someone owned this token, which is, you know, pegged to the USD value, you can then transact outside. We call it over the counter transaction in exchange for fiat. So what our partnership with the exchanges that do is that VCPI is the licensed entity in Philippines. So users would be able to go to their platform and exchange HWG cash for the local currency pesos, and then redeem it, withdraw their pesos to their own accounts.
Do you think that is easier to operate as a Labuan licensee than as an onshore Malaysian licensee? For example, recently the SE came up with some new regulation on digital assets, and the minimum capital that's required is 5 million ringgit, whereas in Labuan, the minimum is only 500,000 US dollars.
So the difference is that the onshore Malaysia jurisdiction, one of the reasons why we set up our company in LFSA previously in Labuan is because the onshore Malaysia jurisdiction does not have such regulation yet. Now, there's a lot of confusion in the market right now, especially with the recent SE announcement. So the SE announcement actually targets and regulates more on the exchanges and digital asset exchanges and also ICO. We are talking about ICOs more. They have not regulated the space whereby our token, we are considered as utility token. We are trying to establish our presence in several jurisdictions in the Asian region, namely Thailand, Thailand and Hong Kong, whereby where in cases like Thailand, they have very clear definitive definition of tokens, whereby are you operating as a security tokens or a utility token? So I believe that the SE currently now is looking more towards the securities token.
And also when SE came out with those new guidelines for digital assets, you were quoted in the press as saying that Malaysia is one step behind our neighbours. So what is lacking in Malaysia and what can we do to advance ourselves versus our neighbours?
One of the things is that I believe that our government is taking a very good initiative right now, trying to regulate the space. However, we are still lacking in terms of the knowledge of the industry because like what I said, now the SE is trying to regulate the exchanges and ICOs, but they are, you know, not looking at the business perspective of it, whereby there are other business model like, you know, stable tokens, utility tokens, payment processing, blockchain payments processing. And these are still, the definition for these businesses are still very vague. So I guess one of the thing that we can do is, for our government to have a good conversation with our neighboring countries. Yeah.
And from a philosophical viewpoint, you know, when Bitcoin first started, and Bitcoin is the first cryptocurrency, they started with the idea that it would be anonymous and libertarian and escape all kinds of centralized controls. And fiat currencies are all about centralization, right? So in your opinion, will we see a situation where authorities are losing the ability to regulate private transactions in the future? For example, if individuals move more and more to digital assets and use blockchains for, who knows, their everyday private affairs?
I would personally think that it won't happen, whereby the government, you know, totally lose control or lose track of, you know, the transactions. The
really, because I see a lot of discussion online in the blockchain and crypto circle that things are moving forward, even though we don't see it, right? A lot of this is just under the radar, but this is really about essentially the liberalization of private transactions and decentralization and devolution to the private individuals.
Yes, you see, when the blockchain technology came out, it was based on the idea of decentralization, right? Hence, you know, the cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, you know, came about. So people were starting to transact anonymously using Bitcoin and all. But in today's world, the governments are really smart too. So because if I can't control how you transact, but I can control where you can cash out, we call it, you know, to convert from digital currency into fiat, you need a channel for that.
So a lot of transactions might not involve cash. For example, if you go into distributed ledgers and blockchains and smart contracts, you know, there are exchanges that might not actually involve monetary values. And this could make governments actually quite insecure, right?
Yeah, it will make government quite insecure. But now all the governments is looking into implementing, you know, stringent KYCs into exchanges, which is why you can see a lot of jurisdiction around the world right now. The first thing they do is that they are trying to regulate the exchanges because exchanges at the end of the day, when you have a digital asset, you still want to convert it into fiat. Right. No matter how, at the end of the day, there will be people trying to convert the digital asset into fiat. And the only channel to do so is through exchanges, which is why now all the jurisdiction is looking at the exchanges.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And that was Gavin Lim, CEO of HWGG Capital, joining us on The Breakfast Grill this morning. I'm Julian Ng for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Baru la bes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.